Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. Hour one, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We got a full five coming up for you today. Rangers have the day off as we're about to have World Cup soccer out there at AT&T or Dallas Stadium. Croatia and England kicking off in about an hour or so. Let's rock. Cowboys mini camp. We're going to talk a lot about that with you today. General at your service, at ease. Broadus is up there currently. He'll be on his way back down here in the next 30 minutes or so. He'll join us probably around top of the hour. Crossy's Corner's coming up at 3:40. Get Broadus's full report for mini campus takeaways. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and 635. Fixing to go full five flawless. LA Live's coming up at 5:40. Of course, you got Zach Wolchuk and Eric Chiafalo, your nosebleed brothers. And Aiden Butler is coordinating your video. You can watch us online. You can listen with the Odyssey app. Yeah, a lot of people at work trying to figure out how they're going to be watching this. I thought the Fox Sports 1 YouTube page, like I had that story last week in 60 Seconds on Soccer. They were like, oh, yeah, we got you totally covered. You go there, it's just a close-up of the manager's faces and their reactions. So you hear the crowd. They got like a manager cam.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So wow.
That's a joke.
I mean, at least the good news is a lot of these games are on regular Fox. At least the U.S. games are. So if you can get rabbit ears or a digital tuner on any kind of television, you can tap in.
That's a big-time football sack, though.
That was horrible. I was like, how
I can't watch
this. Does not
this.
Compute. No.
I was like, promoting it. Like, I was this could thinking, be a great spot for you.
I was thinking it was overly generous last week when I had that story. Yeah. I was like, wow, they're really going out of their way to make sure this is accessible for everybody. But not so fast, my friend. Cowboys minicamp day two. Broadus will be back here, and we also have Mashota coming up at 5 o'clock. You know, I think a lot of the questions are, what are you hoping to see today and into camp? And it was cool today because both the coordinators talked. So you had Clayton Adams and Christian Parker with reporters for about 15 minutes or so, and you can get that on the Cowboys YouTube page if you are a Cowboys sicko like that, I suppose. But Clayton Adams talked to Red Zone, and that's what I wanted to open up with here with you guys, because he identified three things that they weren't good enough last year in Red Zone and how he hopes to fix them. It was clear listening. They're huge on self-scouting, and if your coaching staff is not, I feel bad for you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's a sliding scale on how much of a grinder and how honest you are willing to be with yourself and how curious you are about what you don't know that could make your team better. Anyway, self-inflicted wounds. When you talk about the 11 red zone turnovers, I think half of them were traditional turnovers and the other half were like turnover on downs.
Right.
He acknowledged, though, they changed their identity from being run and play action on certain down and distances. And when they got into the red zone, they became a drop back team.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
You can kind of see that.
Love it.
Respect for the self-awareness of that.
Yeah.
And admitting, like, that's on me, right? As the offensive coordinator, that's like taking ownership of this is where we schematically kind of shot ourselves in the foot.
And I love it because over the last couple of days, you've had both Shoddy and Clayton talk about how, well, we can't go into these multiple tight end sets that are kind of taking the league by storm. Rams last year with McVay, probably the Bears this year. A couple of other teams are going to try. They've both said, well, if you do that, your wide receivers are going to be looking at you sideways. And I'm like, are we actually letting players dictate what's the most likely thing to get in the end zone? And I felt like last year they were trying to feed Pickens and Lamb. Hey, we're going to get down here, and you know, we want to give you guys as many opportunities to. And certainly there are tremendous schematic advantages, and he talked about it again today, like how many split safety looks they're getting compared to the rest of the league is, you know, pretty incredible because they actually get to play offense in kind of a not an outdated way, but in a day that resembles more the past than the future. Here in the future, everybody is trying to give you the post-snap rotations. And against the Cowboys, that's just going to get you murdered with Pickens and Lamb out there. So they're one of the few teams that can get more predictable looks from the secondary. And obviously, there's going to be exceptions to that, like when you play Minnesota and Brian Flores and everything that he brings to the table. But anyway, the third thing was got to use the full width of the field better.
Yes.
As the field condenses depth-wise, how much space can you create width-wise? So that was amongst my takeaways so far, just monitoring the Cowboys media stuff that they've
done. Yeah, I mean, those are all tangible things. Like when you start like, hey, we need to fix the red zone, but then you don't really actually have any solutions. I love what he's talking about here. And a lot of that is going to be in terms of using the lateral space a little bit more. I mean, that is where some of the best play callers and play designers are able to flex that muscle. So that's something that he and Shoddy are going to have to be able to dial up. And then the other thing I think is having that type of speed that can get to different edges and turn corners. And so I go back to Jaden Blue a little bit there.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I was going to say. Like, I want to hear from Broaddus when he gets back that we have some sort of tangible evidence that a Jaden Blue or a Michael Trigg, I think Flannoy is there. Yeah. Flannoy is an addition, but we need to find more good players on both sides of the ball if you're going to catch the Rams and the Seahawks is what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, and which of these players can also just take a next step, you know, in this offense? I mean, it was interesting listening to Albert Breer in his report today, and he's looking at the Packers as like a team that could be this year's version of the Seahawks, and I was trying to correlate it to the Cowboys, and he was like, I mean, you look at Jaxon Smith-Njigba was a good receiver, became one of the best, was a great receiver. Kenneth Walker was a good running back, became like talked about as, okay, now he's a top five level running back. They had defensive players like organically within their system that just were good but really took their game to another level. A lot of this is we look at outside additions, but maybe we don't pay enough time looking within. Who are some guys that are on this team? Flannoy could be one of those guys that could really take their game to another level, that could really improve the football team.
And clearly that was their entire plan with the offense this offseason. Like, they just pretty much went copy and paste. Yeah. We're just going to run it back and hope that some of the younger guys can take those type of steps.
And I didn't realize until today when I was just reading up on his backstory, like, Flannoy is big and athletic. You know, he doesn't maybe look like it compared to prototypical guys, but I think 6'1", 205 and 39.5-inch vert, 4'4", 40. You know, that's big enough to not just be a guy who, you know, is operating in the slot or, you know, can operate finding weaknesses in zone. He is a guy that I think can, you know, physically outmatch some secondary players.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at his RAS score right now from when he came out of Southeast Missouri State in 2024. Out of a score of 10, it was a 9.74.
Damn. He got Dez Bryant comps coming out of school.
His vertical is elite, 39.5.
Yeah. Dang.
His broad jump, elite. So, I mean, and then the speed stuff was all great.
Good hands.
Yeah.
It was just that his routes aren't there, you know, or weren't there. But he's improved on that very significantly. And how much better could he be? I mean, if you're going to put three wide receivers out there, you could be talking about the greatest show on turf.
Yeah, I think that they have three receivers that can really strike fear in opposing defenses. I think the other element will be, you know, as you kind of project ahead, what ends up happening with both Lamb and Pickens if they don't want to pick them or pick both of them to be on the squad. Like, is Flannoy a guy that then you feel better about after this year? I also love the takeaway. Nicole Hutchinson had this from Clayton Adams, but he doesn't want to get too tight and put too much weight on what they want to do in the offseason because he sees things that'll happen and somebody inevitably will invent something that he sees on tape that he likes in the preseason or in week 6 or in week 7 or in week 8. And he's like, oh, I want to do that. And we saw a little bit of it in season last year with the touchdown with Malik Davis against Kansas City, like certain things that he was stealing, which we always question when Mike McCarthy was here and that staff, were they really stealing plays from other teams? Clayton Adams clearly is one of these guys that's like looking around the rest of the league, what's a McVay doing or what's a Ben Johnson doing, and he's trying to add that to his arsenal.
Okay, 940 says just buy the Fox One app for $20 every game and it's worth it. Another says let the folks know the Tubi app, which is now owned by Fox. That's T-U-B-I, and I see that on my streaming stick or whatever it's called. And sometimes it's got some decent stuff on it. I didn't know maybe the Tubi app has your games. All right, best thing about the Rangers last night, Caleb Downs threw out the first pitch.
Yeah, that was about it.
That's it, dude.
He kind of threw it like a football, but that's what you would expect. And I'd probably give it a 7.5, maybe 8 out of 10 for a first pitch. Seemed like the fans were into it. Rangers got rocked. Kamar Rocker gave up the Rangers' 10th leadoff bomb. 73 games. Leadoff hitters are basically prime Barry Bonds against you.
Yeah, it's insane.
One in every 7 at-bats to lead off the game, they're donging you.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah, the game's like over before you can really get it going.
It's hard to recover from something like that psychologically, momentum-wise. 3 1/3, 7 hits, 2 walks, 7 total runs. Rangers were cooked. That surprised me. I thought
I was too. Rocker had been really good at home lately, and it seemed like the first inning stuff they'd kind of mitigated as a rotation. But now 23 first inning homers, that's most in the majors that they've allowed. It's bad. And offensively, they just kind of go into a shell. And I get what Skip was saying post game, where they've talked about this with the pitching staff. Like, you've got to go out there. You got to put a goose egg on the board. Because then not only are you out there for a long inning playing defense, but then you're going, stepping into the batter's box. And now your mindset changes. Like, you're chasing from the get go. You're playing from behind. So you're really not able to get into your game plan and from the start of the game. So it's a problem. But this team is just, you know, they're playing with their food. They've got a great opportunity ahead of them, and they're just not good enough to really maximize it.
So they're off tonight for the World Cup traffic, moving through Arlington, the finale with Minnesota tomorrow at 1:35 here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, they got pregame action going on here. Is that Peter Couch? What was that guy's name? The 6'8 striker for Liverpool 20 years ago, Peter Crouch. Yeah, he's up there talking English football. Salute to you if you're out there. I think this is maybe going to be the game of.
He looks massive next to these guys.
He is, dude. He's giant. He might be like 6'10". Last night, of course, Messi with the hat trick to conclude maybe the greatest day of superstar performances in World Cup history.
How freaking cool was that?
Yeah, what a run,
How freaking
dude.
Amazing was that, seeing what Messi was able to do? But yes, I mean, Mbappe, we got to see him hit 2. Haaland then scores 2. And then Messi capping it off with a freaking hattie. Like, dude, we thought the last time that was it.
Yeah.
He's going to walk off. It's the swan song. Like, he just won the World Cup with Argentina. This is the last time we're going to see him compete in a World Cup.
I think they've done a really nice job down there in Miami, getting the most out of him while also allowing him to conserve his energy. And late in the year, it looked like, wow, he might not even be fit by the time we get to World Cup, but it's clear he was just resting up so he could absolutely explode back onto the international scene. I mean, he was so in his bag last night, he pulled off a Victor Wembanyama. A foul that would get anybody else ejected.
Yeah, people were pretty upset about that. Did he like kick a dude in the calf, or was it a stomp?
He probably should have been
cleated him.
Red card.
Can't go in studs up, you know.
Okay,
so, but it's messy, so I guess you get the benefit there.
Absolutely, you do. Portugal and Congo wrapped up 1-1. England and Croatia underway at 3. Panama and Ghana at 6. Colombia and Uzbekistan at 9 o'clock tonight. The England soccer fans having a blast across DFW. I saw some guys out of the stockyards watching some rodeo and singing Sweet Caroline on social. That was cool.
That was cool.
I saw some fans had to be removed from the Londoner on order of the Dallas police.
Yeah, like 10:30 at night?
Were those the same guys who were singing at the Scotland fans they could shove the bagpipes up there?
Oh, that could be. That could be. I don't know if there was a correlation there, but I did see those videos, and I was like, what am I missing? What is the reason, the context as to why these guys, when they're open until 2 a.m., they're trying to get, like, is it just it's a school night and you're making too much noise here? I don't know.
Yeah, it must have been overly vulgar and loud and potential threats of violence for the police to be called.
Yeah.
You know,
you can't be too careful with wrangle.
I mean, you get that vacation energy tied with mob mentality. And you're sort of, you know, in America where, you know, it's maybe you're thinking you can get away with more stuff here. And maybe you can, you know, I don't know. But hopefully everybody can enjoy this match tonight. And it's not too dramatic and the aftermath is peaceful. But I mean, between the England fans and the Croatian fans now, these guys are putting away an insane amount of ale. Or whatever they call it.
Yes. You know? It's amazing.
Yes, they are.
They're drinking their balls off. They're parting their balls off.
They are.
Okay, the Warriors are prepared to offer LeBron the $15 million non-taxpayers exemption. Would put him with Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Porzingis, Kuminga, and a bunch of jobbers. I think I'd rather just retire if I was LeBron. Like, if it was Warriors or retire, I'm retiring. I think I'm probably just going to go back to the Lakers and take whatever they're offering if I want to continue playing at this point, because I don't think we're winning it. Like, okay. That would just, okay. Do you?
No, I mean, I don't think you are getting out of the West with something like that. I wonder if you're LeBron, like, just the idea that you get to play with some of these guys, like, how much does that excite you, and just the small chance and the internal confidence of a LeBron and a Steph thinking, like, we can do this thing, like, how cool that would be if they could pull it off. I could get it.
I like the idea of starting from scratch with LeBron and Steph and then trying to build a contender around them.
Sure.
Like, are we trading Porzingis and Kuminga? Are we getting some bigs in here that can actually protect the rim and maybe move their feet a little bit more than Porzingis can? I don't know what the grand plan could look like. That'd be the questions I'd be asking if I was Mr. James. Okay, top 10. Then after the champ, we'll check, where are you taking this list?
Yeah,
today?
We've got some cinema news, and it leads to the question, what are the top 10 comedy movies people most want a sequel for? That's next in the next.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Nation.
Welcome back, Nation. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first. 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. We got Wolchuk's top 10 here in just a couple of minutes. Here's Lucius with your champ.
Okay. Going for two today at 5:30. Stick around for this one. It is a Texan and soccer star Clint Dempsey. He has something to say about his former assistant coach, I believe it is, Jesse Marsh. It's about who you beef with sometimes. It's about who you beef with. I'm not out here talking to media people. I'm talking to a former coach. I'm beefing with somebody up there.
Yeah.
In the brass. Big Clint Dempsey, Texan right here, talking about his old coach, Jesse Marsh, a.k.a. Messy Marsh.
Reminder, Jesse represented the United States, not only as a player, but as an assistant coach as well. Yesterday, he had a comment that caught our attention. He said that when he was an assistant with the U.S. under Bob Bradley, Clint, he had to beg the players to sing the national anthem.
He really said that?
He said that.
He really said that?
Man, I can't take this guy too seriously. I mean, it was an honor for me growing up and representing my country. And when the national anthem happened, I wasn't someone who normally would sing. I put my hand over my heart and I'd pray to the good man upstairs. I'm someone who's bled for this country. I broke my nose playing for this country. I've come back from two heart procedures and played for this country. So I'm not going to take advice from someone who switched to the other side and singing another country's national anthem. And as my boy TT would say, stay in your own lane. It looks like he's in a dang moped, so worry about your own team.
Look like he's in a dang moped.
Damn.
He is.
He's so South Texas,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Freaking legend. Clint Dempsey.
Looks like he's in a dang moped. Shout out to Clint, man.
Yeah.
Hey, and shout out to Boosie as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to want to shout him out for the rest of the year. That was such a great clip.
Was he honorary?
Can we honorary this dude?
Yeah. Somebody write it down.
Yeah.
So we won't forget.
Yeah, let's write that down.
Yeah, please.
Let's note that.
All righty. We got Ball Maxon coming up at 2:40 with the Chief. Here's Wolchuk with his top 10.
All right. We're going to talk some comedy movies. Brian going to be here soon, but he probably hasn't seen most of these. I figured like this would be a good time to drop a comedy movie list, as we have news that we are going to get a sequel to Jump Street. 22 Jump Street is going to get 24 Jump Street now.
They're skipping. They go 21, 22, and now all of a sudden they're hitting us with a 24, Wolchuk.
Yeah, so what we have here on the cover of the script.
By the way, my son's teacher in elementary, we used to get so many phone calls about that 21.
21, 21.
Anytime the number 21 would come up in the class. He's a good student, but just the distractions with 21. We can work on that.
Yeah, we'll just 21. Say 21.
21.
My favorite number, dude.
So 21 Jump Street, the remake, I didn't think was really good. We got the sequel 22 Jump Street, and they've been rumored to do a 23, but they're just skipping to 24 Jump Street because they say it took so long to make, we had to skip one. So we're going 21, 22 to 24 Jump Street. And I'm excited about it. I think both of them have been pretty good. I think Jonah Hill Hill was really, really hilarious next to Channing Tatum. The both of them worked off each other really well. Ice Cube as kind of the ringleader of everything that's going on, the head detective. I'm into it.
What y'all doing over there?
Yeah. I mean, I'm up for any Ice Cube movie, but I passed on all these.
You know? Like them?
I'm kind of the police action movies are just they're tacky and they lack depth.
The buddy cops,
you know, I guess. Yeah, the buddy cop stuff. Yeah,
okay. It's not for everybody. Look, comedy is subjective.
My brother loves them.
I thought they were hilarious. I really did enjoy them. I didn't know what to expect though, because I never saw the original 21 Jump Street. So seeing the first one was just like, all right, I don't really have anything to compare this to. But I liked them. And I thought the sequels aren't always good when it comes to comedy movies. Like The Hangover Part 2, I thought was meh.
Captain Jack Sparrow was in the original. Jump 21 Jump Street.
Okay. Yeah, because they ended up showing up in 22 Jump Street at the end.
Okay.
Yes. Right. Now it all ties together, baby. I understand this now.
Rodney Pete's wife was in there, I believe.
Yeah, she was in there. That's depth, Dawson. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's it, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, they got many layers to this. It's like Ogre's have layers. It's like Shrek 5. We got the trailer for that yesterday.
Let's cut to another chase scene for the next 12 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
Take
such
a bathroom break.
Got your curmudgeon.
We just fast forward to the end of this.
Golly.
Oh, look, the car jumped. That was cool in 1960, bro.
Come on, man.
That was cool in the early 80s.
Eric.
Hey, Woolchuck.
I'm just going to talk to you the rest of this segment, okay? We're just going to – you just see yourself out of this conversation then, Dawson.
Okay. Dawson doesn't like comedy movies.
Is this all about 21 Jump Street?
No. Well, some of the other top tens maybe you will like, all right? So we're going to have to make sure that like some of these get into the Dawson bar.
These are buddy cop movies?
Not all of them. It's just comedy movies in general that are most desired a sequel to. So fans voted. They're like, I really want a sequel to this comedy movie. Now, The Hangover – is not one of these because they've got two. But Step Brothers is the first honorable mention on here. Would you like a sequel to Step Brothers? I don't know what they would do.
Yeah, I'll take it. It seems like Will Ferrell's old, though.
He's kind of losing his fastball. I actually, that's a take that I agree with from you. I think you're right on that. And Will Ferrell's got a couple of movies on here. Wedding Crashers.
Yeah. Wedding Crashers, yes.
I don't know that I want to see it, though. I don't know if it would be good.
Yeah, there are times where the first one is so good that you're like, do we mess up kind of a good thing here? But when you've waited long enough, I would like to think they could come up with something pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, they're not just spitting one out 2 years, 3 years later just because, trying to ride the wave and just half-assing it. Like, when you spend enough time trying to put together a dominant sequel.
We're at 20 years
now. I would
give
that a shot. I'd go to the theater for that.
I would too. I just worry about like what are we going to do here? Is it like their kids? You know, because you're 20 years now in between films. Is this like Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn's kids?
Maybe they both ended up with an unfortunate divorce, and now they're back. Now they're back in the streets,
or they're from the grave,
or maybe there was an unfortunate wife death situation,
and they get back at it.
Now
at the
he's
funeral.
Emotional and he's doing things that he doesn't really want to do, but he can't help himself. Like. I don't know. I think they can make it work, dude. I mean, Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn together.
They really are so good together. They have such a good rapport, the back and forth. The Barbie movie, which I guess was a comedy. I don't know that I care if there's a sequel to that one. Animal House and Anchorman. And they did do a sequel to Anchorman, but I guess they want a third one, is what the people are saying.
I'm good on that.
I thought the sequel was meh. Number 10, and we got this teased actually today, Mike Myers, who was at the World Cup match for Team Canada in Toronto, because I guess he is Canadian, Austin Powers 4. And he said, could this happen? Answer, yes. So maybe we get a follow-up to the third one, which was Austin Powers Goldmember, but Mike Myers could be getting back with Dr. Evil and Mini-Me, even though I don't think Mini-Me's with us anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh, Vern Troyer.
We lost Vern.
R.I.P. Did we lose Vern? I think Chris Arnold had something to do with that.
Well, I don't think he killed
I don't think that's how the story goes exactly.
Oh, no? Did I miss a part?
Let me see.
The story.
Oh, yeah, he did.
The story with C.A. and Vern Troyer was they were getting ready to take a picture, and C.A. picked him up to put him on a chair so he could stand and have his head as high as everybody else's or close.
He was just being a gentleman.
Vern freaked out.
Yeah. He treated him like a toddler.
Well, his little legs were kicking in the air.
Put me down.
Yes.
Can you see it? Just goes immediately to pick him up.
Just help you out here, buddy.
I mean, I could see myself doing that.
Yeah.
It's like, we're not just going to...
We're not all going to go down on our, on yeah. our knees and howl on all fours as we take this picture.
Yeah. Woo! Everybody sit down cross-legged.
Yeah.
Except for Vern. Just stand there.
Number nine.
Should have put him up on his shoulders or something.
Yeah. You know what I mean, Vern?
Do a piggyback ride. I'd be excited, though, for a fourth one there. Can we get a kids 2 from the 214? I don't know if I saw kids.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that
Isn't
a crazy?
That like a crazy?
That's wild. I have no legs. That should be played in every high school health class starting junior year.
Maybe
talking about shock therapy.
Really? Oh,
that's oh, gonna.
It was bad.
Yeah.
The Blues Brothers from the 469, they'd like a sequel to that. Ace Ventura, and we did get Ace Ventura 2, but does Jim Carrey still have his fastball like that? I know he's been doing these Sonic movies.
No, he's just more, I don't know, eccentric now. Yeah,
I don't know if he could pull it off.
In his 20s, you know, he was a force of nature. Anything he did was going to be hilarious. Gold. But I think he lost it actually right around the time of The Mask.
Oh,
that's when it happened. It was a very brief window.
You didn't like Liar Liar?
Liar Liar was incredible. Even Bruce Almighty was good.
Yeah, Bruce Almighty, Me, Myself, and Irene, bro?
Bruce Almighty might be the last one that I thought, like, okay, this one was good, which was, what, 02?
Yeah.
You must be having them hot-ass tanks.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
You went from A-plus to A-minus by the time we were with Me, Myself, and Irene.
Okay.
Now it's B content.
No love for the Grinch?
No. Weird.
Terrible question.
Yeah.
Not a good play by me. No, of course not. Bridesmaids.
He chalked it up to weird.
Bridesmaids comes in at number 9. Kristen Wiig's Wedding Chaos with a killer female ensemble.
Man.
That put Melissa McCarthy on the map.
Yeah.
The one scene where they all get diarrhea.
That was bad.
And they're running across the street. And they're like in the bathroom literally crapping in sinks.
Yeah, it was bad.
That is one of the most hilarious but grotesque scenes I've ever seen in a film.
I mean, it was a really funny movie.
It was really good. 8 is Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, unless you're just totally out on Will Ferrell at this point,
which
I think that would be one that most people would be open to.
All right, number 7 on the top 10 comedy movies fans most want a sequel for in honor for 24 Jump Street. Superbad at 7. And this has also been one that they've teased quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that is like the...
It's a Mount Rushmore
It's a Mount Rushmore.
I can't
for
stop doodling these D's, bro. Man. I can't stop.
You had a treasure chest full.
Parents thought I was possessed by some D-devil.
Did you hit Becca's foot with your D?
You know how many foods are shaped like D's? The best kinds.
The best kinds.
You know, hot dogs, hey, and popsicles.
This is actually a great take here, okay, from the 817, the cable guy.
Oh, okay.
Was the worst movie ever.
I don't think I've ever seen it. It looks so bad.
The cable guy was not
good. It was so bad.
Yeah.
Like Joe's Apartment bad.
Yeah, like I didn't watch it for all these years. And then we were getting texts, I think, when we were in the nighttime in the nosebleed season. Yeah. It was like, cable guy. And I'm like, okay, this is a blind spot for me. And then, like, this is truly awful.
Yeah. I didn't like it either. I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Dodgeball, rest in peace, Chuck Norris from the 469. In fact, I do believe Dodgeball might have not made the list. He might have not made the list. No Dodgeball, but I wouldn't mind a sequel to Dodgeball. 3 is Elf. Speaking of Will Ferrell, Elf was good. I don't know.
Oh, Elf!
I think we're good.
Elf's
on
good Christmas movie.
I don't know
movie.
If we need an Elf 2.
Yeah.
Tropic Thunder is number 5.
Oh my gosh!
There's no way in today's world. That
you
get
could.
It.
Yeah, you could. If it's funny, you can.
You can. We can get away with it.
Yeah. If it's funny, if you do it right.
Yeah, yeah, and that would be outstanding. That movie was unbelievably
Tropic Thunder was
funny.
So darn good.
It's such a good run. It was like a decade worth of just unbelievable comedies in the 2000s.
Was it Booty Sweat? Is that
Booty
the name
Sweat.
Of the
dream?
Yeah.
Yes.
Crazy.
Tom Cruise and everybody, dude.
It's crazy.
That was so good.
My butt brain is good.
Simple Jack.
Oh my gosh, that cast was incredible. Jack Black, Robert Downey Jr. Got nominated for a freaking Academy Award.
Yeah,
doing blackface the whole
good
time.
Stuff, man.
It was hilarious.
His dad did that back in the day. You know that?
No.
Yeah, his dad is a director, and he didn't do like the blackface, but he did like a voiceover for a black character. So the whole time you're looking at this black character, it's Robert Downey Sr.'s voice the
I
whole
had
time.
No idea. Okay. Wow. Okay. Four is The Big Lebowski.
Went whole circle right there, full circle for those fellas.
Jeff Bridges might still be able to pull off a Big Lebowski sequel. That could be fun.
Absolutely.
Office Space comes in at number 3, which...
Oh, that's one of the greats, bro. Shout out to Los Colinas.
Man.
when he's rapping in his car, dude.
That is such a good movie.
Yes. The Scarface. Yeah.
So freaking hilarious.
Yeah. This parking garage down here, somebody parks right there at the very entrance of the parking garage. It's a Tesla. And I almost hit it every time getting in there. Yeah, and I feel like that's like somebody put them there, like the desk down in the
yes,
basement.
Yes,
the guy
yes.
with the stapler.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the swing line situations. Oh. Yeah. I feel like they're doing him like that right now. They want that guy to quit.
We need you to come in on Saturday. The Goonies is at 2, which I think has been a rumored sequel for a long time. I just don't know what you would do for a Goonies sequel.
It'd have to be their kids.
How's Chunk doing?
Yeah. That's a good question.
There's no way
is he still with
around.
Us?
Let me get an update on Chunk. The original Truffle Shuffler.
Number one, though, the comedy that most people want a sequel for is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With Matthew Broderick. I mean, that movie is outstanding.
It is.
I did not know that there was enough love. I knew that there was love, but like people really wanted a sequel. I don't know what you could do with that, but hey.
What is his grandson staying with him or something?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Like that. I think that's what all of these would have to do. It'd have to be like the next level, you know, in the family tree type of
thing. I made a list.
Yep, please.
Rush Hour.
Ooh, another Rush Hour.
Another Rush Hour. Yeah. Another Money Talks with Chris Tucker and Charlie Sheen. Okay. That'd be awesome. Mm. A lot of these are Chris Tucker's. Another Friday movie, which I heard they're in the makes and trying to do. Another Harlem Nights with the new generation of comedians.
There you go. Okay.
And All About the Benjamins. Did he blow that money? Mike Epps, did you blow that money?
That's a forgotten Goldie right there.
Chunk is still alive, and he's looking thin. He's looking svelte. Really? He is a founding partner of law firm Cohen & Gardner, because he's Jeff Cohen. Chunk is Jeff Cohen in real life.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's aged extremely well.
Okay.
I guess he's just out of acting.
That wasn't a real guy?
No, he was. Oh, no. Chunk was just the chubby kid. The
you're
talking
of the,
about
hey you guys.
Oh yeah, the baby Ruth guy.
Yes,
the baby Ruth
hysterical.
Guy. Yeah. Okay. That was Chuck.
I kind of thought that's what you were talking about too.
No way he's still with us.
You thought he grew out of that.
So that was just makeup, huh?
Well, thank you, Walt Chuck.
Thank you.
Okay, we're coming back with some maxing.
Yeah, football maxing with Messi, Team USA, and my favorite soccer fan in the world, Nick.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Next in the nation.
Welcome back, nation. Broadus has stepped in. Okay, he's back from minicamp. Krusty's Corner's coming up in an hour. Here's the chief.
Yes, sir. Lots to get to right after this.
Now there's a new trend called ball maxing.
Everybody has a preference. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like them tacky. Some guys like them brand new. Some guys like old balls. I mean, they're all different.
Do you still think the balls are juiced?
Nico Gonzalez, Lionel Messi, Lionel Messi! First career World Cup hat-trick ties the all-time goal-scoring record.
How about that, Messi? Must watch. Always rising to the occasion and meeting the moment, no matter how young or old he is. That was pretty dang special last night. And the Rangers gave us a good opportunity to flip the channel.
Real quick.
I'm like, what else are we doing here? Dawson tells me before we get out of here, Messi's playing tonight. I'm like, okay, we know what we're doing here after the Rangers are going to suck it up to start that game and really throughout the entire night. So it was an easy night to flip on over, and watching him work is pretty gosh dang special.
Amazing. It is, man, and it's incredible how efficient he is and how dangerous he still is at this age. You know, you juxtapose that against Ronaldo, you know, who is a couple of years older, you know, but I think Messi's one of these guys like a Tom Brady or a LeBron that is going to bend the rules of, you know, what a guy can usually accomplish. You know, even 32 or 33 has historically been old for soccer players. Like, this is insane to be one of the best players in the world at this age of his life.
Okay, I'm so glad you said that, because I want to take you back to 2018 when Messi and company lose. And I believe they're losing to Mbappe here in the World Cup. And so you have this is the end of Argentina's run in 2018. And listen to the English commentator after Argentina's elimination.
Lionel Messi's final World Cup match, surely, and maybe his final game for his country. He'll be 35 the next time the World Cup comes around.
Okay, so that was back
little
in,
did he know he would win it 4 years later.
Nobody could possibly play that long.
Yeah, yeah.
35, hell
I mean, you're running 6-7 miles. I mean, Messi's not. Messi probably has it down to 2.5 or 3, and he walks a lot, but... You know, he's just, I think, showing you with his awareness and his positioning and then preserving his energy for the right moments.
Yeah, and Messi has scored 8 goals in his last 8 World Cup matches.
Damn.
Ronaldo has 8 World Cup goals in his career.
Wow.
Yeah, that's out.
So when you start looking at the differences there between the two, but yeah, now Messi is tied for the most goals in men's World Cup history with 16. And we'll see. You have Ronaldo and Portugal. They're in action. Are they still up right now? Or?
Ronaldo and Portugal tied with Congo.
They tied? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was looking for... well, don't be laughing. I'm doing my damn job over here.
I'm just laughing at myself.
Oh, what'd you do that was so funny?
I hit on Prize Picks.
Did you?
Cha-ching.
I was surprised.
Was it a soccer hit?
Yes. Actually, it's funny because we're talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, and he...
Did you go with more on the shots on goal?
Yes. It actually passes attempted.
Passes?
Yeah. I'm like, this is when... I can understand why that tech quarterback had an issue.
Oh, it's so much fun.
I get it.
Having some fun with it, huh?
I get it, yeah. Okay.
But that's daily fantasy. That's not sports betting.
That's not sports
betting. That's how we get around it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a completely different thing.
Totally different. It's more or less. It's not over-unders.
Do the stuff that Dawson does, too. Do them both. Everything, right?
Yeah,
Dawson.
Yeah, DraftKings.
Oh, yeah, DraftKings it up.
Do whatever.
Code DFW the fan.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so the official audience for the U.S. World Cup opening match versus Paraguay comes in at 27.5 million, breaking the all-time record for U.S. soccer viewership.
Hell yeah.
Okay,
so the you know, everybody's caught the bug here a little bit. Now it looks like Pulisic,
we're a front-running country.
Still training alone, doing gym work and not with the full group now as we are 2 days.
Yes, with Britt.
2 days out. Are we getting nervous that Pulisic won't be available?
I don't think I'm ever not nervous about Pulisic's availability.
It's Tyron Smith.
It is minute to minute.
He is a Tyron Smith.
He's got a little Jordan Tyson in him.
Pretty good.
So yeah, that one's tough, and it just doesn't seem like it adds up. You know, he's got this sleeve on his lower leg. I think we probably have a bruise or a strain, and we know from being Luka fans how those calf things can linger for 2 months.
Yeah.
We might have seen the last of Pulisic in this World Cup.
Don't say it. He's going to gut Dawson. It out. Are you kidding me?
Gosh,
absolutely
Pulisic.
Not. Show bet. Pulisic plays.
At least one more second of World Cup soccer.
Half. At least a half.
I think he might sit this game in hopes of being better next week against Turkey.
So we just play for the bigger picture here? I mean, I can see that.
What's up with Turkey?
I was listening to my guy John Strong, my former intern at 750 The Game in Portland before I moved here.
Oh, you have a famous intern?
Yeah, he called the play-by-play. Wow. I think he was on the Argentina clip that we just played.
Heck yeah, he was.
He had just graduated from Oregon.
Holy crap, no way. And, he didn't ever say that.
And it was very clear.
Humble, Ryan.
He was very clear.
Take a page out of his book.
An ascending legend in one thing or another. And like 2 weeks in, he became like the play-by-play guy of the Timbers. And then two years later, he was doing MLS. So
did you kind of know?
Yes. I actually, right. So I was 10 years older than him, and I called him Uncle John Strong
because
he already had a bald patch. I was kind of trolling him. Yeah. But he was like so responsible and mature, on nuclear dork levels, right?
So he likes Sandler.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, blew Sandler out of the water.
Okay.
Really?
All right.
We had a teammate at LSU. We called him Old Man. he had a teammate. Get in. He looked like an old man. We're all like 18, 19. So it's like, and he answered that. And then we had a reunion. And it's like, hey, old man. And he's like, well, I'm an old man now. You
know, now it fits.
But that's awesome. Sometimes you have that look. You have the old man look.
Apparently, Pochettino's message to the team when games get physical, quote, we're American. We don't take S. That's something he really drilled into us,
according
to Sebastian Berhalter. So I keep falling more and more in love with Pochettino.
They got themselves a hell of a manager. They really do. This dude's the real deal.
Yeah. No question about it.
He didn't really help us at Tottenham very much.
I've seen enough of Sebastian Berhalter, by the way, on the pitch. I'd like to see him on the bench for the rest of the tournament.
Ooh, not
there
a fan.
There you go.
I mean, he can try to not take bleep, but he's $1.45.
Who else do you have a problem with?
He's a bleep taker.
Don't you have a problem with Way?
Timothy Ream.
Ream.
Yeah, the center back. Somehow the captain of the team at 38 years old. If there's a goal against us, Ream will be in the scene, backpedaling, looking like Savone Revelle against the Lions.
Oh, no.
He was all right.
Get that
he had a
knee
great
raise.
PBU against Flanoy that's now making the rounds, courtesy of the Dallas Cowboys
nice
social media
I love it
team. Yeah. So we're going to, you know, it's Revel season, baby.
You got to be careful talking to these about these. I appreciate you guys letting me go watch practice, but then I come back, I'm thinking, okay, how dramatic do I want to be saying this?
I want to hear the most
dramatic
version possible. No. Eric, drama.
You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah. My gosh, some of the best backpedaling I've ever seen.
Now. Gosh, she looks great. Those hips don't lie.
Oh, they're singing God Save the King. I'd love to be listening to this right now. These fans all sing it. It's
the
pretty
England
wild.
The England National Anthem.
Yeah. Perfect. Live at AT&T Stadium.
Yeah. Perfect time to, it's Dallas Stadium, Jack.
Nope, AT&T to me, baby.
Let's actually take you, let's take you to Fox 4 outside of Dallas Stadium, outside of Texas Live. This is an England fan getting ready to have the greatest day of his life.
Hi, I love this beer in this country, by the way. It's really good.
You like the beer in this country? All right.
Hospitality has been amazing as well.
Really? Have you had any Texas barbecue yet?
I had Texas barbecue yesterday. I had a lovely bit of brisket.
Lovely bit.
Tell me about it. What was your experience? Is it what you expected?
I went fatty. Do you go fatty or
yeah,
lean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I went fatty. I went to slow bone, okay. Picked it up, put the sauce on it, dropped it in the mouth, melted in my mouth. It was absolutely beautiful. It's the best beef I've had in my life.
Really? Yeah. We love to hear that. Did you try any of the other fixins with it or no?
I had a pork chop. I had some pork ribs.
Okay.
I had mac and cheese. The mac and cheese was average though.
Oh, yikes.
And the other thing is, what's this Brussels sprouts gratin about? We have Brussels sprouts at Christmas in England. Why do you have it on your barbecue? I don't know.
I don't know. There's so many questions here. Yeah. Tell me what you're doing today. You're heading into Texas Live right now. What's the plan ahead of the match?
We're going to get drunk before the game. We're going to get drunk during the game. And then we get drunk after the game. But all that matters is England wins today.
How about that guy?
Let's go. That's a plan.
Having the time of his life, drinking some Shiner Bock. He's a big fan.
Football's coming home.
I mean, can you imagine touching down in the U.S. with our tremendous beer menu, our barbecue menu?
And it's actually cold.
I've never had Slow Bone. Have you guys?
No.
Kind of a brisket experience that he had.
No, I don't know. I'm not familiar with Slow
Bone. I think he made the right choice going fatty myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he did.
But there he is. That's my favorite fan.
I'll tell
going
you
right now.
Look at that. Sometimes mac and cheese can't be a little mid.
Absolutely.
You know, I appreciate it. Mac. By the way, the description of the way English people describe things and like everybody should have to describe things like that, right?
Yeah.
The way they tell you what they did. It's just so eloquent.
It was properly terrific,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything
he had a big old cowboy hat on. Oh, very nice.
That's awesome.
He was living it up.
Yeah.
Okay. We got one down, four to go. It's a full show Wednesday here in the nation. Rangers have the night off to clear out the Arlington Entertainment Area for this World Cup traffic.
Yeah.
There's the FC Dallas Pet Armusa. One of the top scorers in the MLS.
That's
there you
a big
go.
Boy
Apparently
right
he's
there.
In the starting 11 for Croatia, so that's pretty dang cool.
That and yes, is cool.
A texter pointed out Turkey A is now the new preferred name for Turkey, just like Czech Republic is now Chechia. If you're wondering where that Chechia came from.
Turkey A, is how do we say it? Turkey Are we doing A. it right by that saying? Okay, yep. Turkey A, here we go.
Mixed bag coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us?
Yay, Turkey! All right, where Turkey does Cooper Flagg get selected if we combine the last two drafts? We got World Cup scams. They're on alert. Mm. And where is Tech ranked without Brendan Sorsby? That's next in the nation.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.